A new federal study shows Alaska's two polar bear populations could be greatly decreased in a decade. The research also shows global warming is by far the biggest threat to polar bear populations across the Arctic compared to other stressors like hunting and pollutants. The information is critical to wildlife managers as they develop and implement a recovery plan for the species that's expected to be released this week. The polar bear was listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 2008. Todd Atwood is a research biologist with the United States Geological Survey and lead author of the study. He says indirectly, greenhouse gases are driving the loss of polar bear habitat, sea ice.
So if we're able to limit greenhouse gas emissions enough to reduce the rise in global temperature by 2 degrees Celsius, the outcome for polar bears is quite a bit rosier than if we don't limit greenhouse gas emissions and see them rise unabated. Based on our work, if we're able to follow a greenhouse gas trajectory, which depicts stabilization around the mid-century mark, then we'll probably have reduced populations of polar bears globally. But the outcome is substantially worse if we don't. We reckon that there's probably about an even probability that we'll see greatly decreased polar bear populations if we adhere to a stabilization greenhouse gas trajectory. If we follow an unabated greenhouse gas trajectory, then it's likely that 3/4 of the population, the global population, will be in a greatly decreased state, probably as early as the mid-century mark.
How about Alaska's population of polar bears? How do Alaska's two polar bear populations fare in either of these models?
So what we did with the models is we looked at, rather than looking at individual populations, we looked at regional populations. So there are 19 polar bear subpopulations, and we grouped them into kind of intermediate spatial scale units called ecoregions. And these ecoregions are defined based on similarities in sea ice characteristics and also similarities in polar bear life history. So the two Alaska subpopulations, the Southern Beaufort Sea and the Chukchi Sea, grouped together with some Russian populations into the polar basin divergent ice ecoregion. If we look at it at an ecoregional scale, we project that it'll probably reach a greatly decreased state as early as 2025, 2030. And that projection is based largely on future patterns of sea ice availability. That area is leading the Arctic in the loss of summer sea ice habitat. We're seeing the open water season, the period of time where there's no sea ice over the continental shelf, increase at a rate of about 17 days per decade. So when there's no sea ice over the water, polar bears have no access to prey.
Your study ranks other stressors to polar bears beyond global warming. What has the biggest potential to further reduce polar bear populations, and how would you rank those?
Well, the main reason why we did this work was to try and understand all the various threats to long-term persistence of polar bears at a global scale. Loss of sea ice habitat is by far the overwhelming threat to long-term persistence. If you're able to mitigate the loss of sea ice habitat, you can reduce the probability of a given ecoregion population transitioning into a greatly decreased state by as much as 50%. If you look at some of the other threats like hunting or defensive life kills or exposure to contaminants, to parasites and disease, you really don't get much payback for the amount of effort invested to manage those threats. If you reduce hunting, you might be able to reduce the probability of being in a worsened population outcome by, say, 5 to 7%. Pollution, maybe 3 to 5%. That doesn't mean that they're not important, but it means that they're really kind of a band-aid to buy us time to try and deal with greenhouse gas emissions, which are driving the decline in sea ice habitat.
Todd Atwood is a research biologist with the United States Geological Survey.